The Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 394. What various hindrances we meet in coming to the mercy seat, yet who that knows the worth of prayer but wishes to be often there? 394.
Thank you. Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the Epistle by James, the General Epistle by James, chapter 2. James chapter 2. My brethren, have not the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor man, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, Do not commit adultery, said also, Do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have no works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not our Abraham our father justified by works, when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Let us pray. Most High, Holy, Almighty, Eternal Lord God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, far above our understanding naturally, far above this earth, far above all principalities and powers, yet ever merciful, long-suffering, gracious, forbearing, we bow before thee this day in this thy house, thy lower court, when we seek the presence of the Almighty. We seek the presence of the Eternal One, the Holy Eternal God, in the face, the person, the glory, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, brought forth into our midst and into our hearts by the indwelling light and power of the Holy Ghost. May the Holy Ghost be in our midst this day with power and authority. And may the written testimony of God, written by the finger of God, be made life and power and manna to our hearts this day, Lord, the Word of God. Oh, we will bow before thee, Lord, and do grant that we each may be touched in our hearts, pressed in spirit, wrought upon, awakened, touched, let living waters flow in our life and heart, the everlasting gospel, that we may discover where we are and how we are. But behold, behold, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, and not the sin of the world only, but putting away my sin and bringing forth righteousness, working righteousness and grace and love in our hearts, preparing us for the end of all things in our personal life below, preparing us for an eternal place. So we would come now into thy lower house humbly and with true contrition of spirit, confessing our sins personally. How many of us this morning, Lord, thou knowest, have come to thy house, what we call going to chapel, confessing these sins and abhorring ourselves, groaning that such sins could be in us and in our life, and such unbelief and such willfulness and such rebellion and such darkness. May we confess these things. But Lord, there is at the same time a forsaking them but not into a vacuum, forsaking them into the narrow way of prayer, the narrow way of repentance, the narrow way of confessing, the narrow way of looking unto Jesus, the narrow way of crying mightily to God and waiting for thee and calling upon thee and wrestling. So we ask that the Holy Spirit may be at work this day in our midst. O Lord, may we not meet in vain. We would see Jesus forever, forever, Lord, and just a passing glimpse by living faith is a work forever in the soul. Oh, we pray, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. We beg thy blessing, fulfill thy promise and thy word. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused us to hope, prayed the psalmist. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. What a mercy to have been made alive in spiritual things beyond this world. Oh, may we have the union with Christ sealed, so longed for by thy people, by thy tried people, by thy needy people, that their sins are put away. We want living realities, Lord. Leave us not to rest on generalities. Others might. We have to leave it. Lord, we want a sealing of the Spirit. Oh, we want a lasting blessing. We walk by faith and not by sight. Oh, that we may know that we are being conformed in thy image to get to heaven, to go through the river of death. We seek these blessings, Lord, for we are poor and needy. And Job said, behold, I'm vile. And I believe thy people, Lord, know it. Utterly, completely, ruined, lost, vile, undone, and corrupt. Lord, the awfulness of death is within. But oh, may we know the resurrection power, the newness of life, the rising from the dead, in the glory of Christ, in the rising from the tomb, to walk in newness of life. So we ask these blessings. Thou knowest every case before thee this day, the affairs of every household, of every individual, the pathway, the trials, the disappointments, the long anguish of waiting, the cares, the great needs. Lord, thou knowest those that may be in anguish, those that feel to be under thy judgment, thy hand going against them. O Lord, thou knowest every case. Thou knowest those that might have come with a prospect, a word resting upon their spirit, and Lord, rejoicing in thy mercy, thy appearing. But in all this, in all of this, whatever our case, our prayer is, sirs, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. So we ask thy blessing on us as an assembly this day. Bless this house of prayer. Bless thy servants that come here to speak the gospel. May it be in life and power. Bless the church. Bless the congregation, the families, the households, the individuals. Remember each in their low estate. Bless the Sunday school. Strengthen the teachers, the dear children, the sweet babes. May they be heirs of glory. Remember those going forth in life, business and study. Prosper them, but Give them an aching void. Bring them to needy. Bring them to thy feet. Remember those in middle life in the heat of the day. Bring them under the banner of thy love and grace continually. Remember those in senior years. Lord, the days now so limited, no natural future. Lord, let there be an eternal future. Jesus, shine. Remember one in hospital. Visit her soul, have compassion. Near eternity, remember all that mourn. Remember the bereaved. So remember each in mercy. Then ask every case. Bless the deacons, the dear deacons here. Strengthen them in their office, their labours, their burdens. Remember Zion. Bless thy servants on the walls of Zion. The editors of our denominational magazines, secretaries of our charitable societies. Bless them in their labours. Return in power upon us in the denomination, Lord, in the ministry. O Lord, we are put of Zion. O have mercy on us. O Lord, have mercy on us. Remember us in the nation. Have mercy on England in these dark, solemn times. Grant us a complete separation from Europe, but we are a wicked nation. Overthrow this a declaration, or a proposed declaration of British values. Lord, remember our leaders. Open their eyes, may they be ashamed. And do raise up deliverers in the land. And raise up those who will blow the trumpet out of Zion. Lengthen out our Protestant heritage still, our religious liberty still, civil liberty still, our freedom to worship still. Remember Zion through the earth. Lord, the missionaries where thy name is feared, thy word is read, the spiritual Israel in this land and through the earth. Oh, remember much in mercy. Dear Lord, we come to thy house today. We would confess our sins, but would also come with thanksgiving. Oh, the bowels of thy mercy. Can we not speak of it? The bowels of thy compassion. Oh, call to remembrance the former years of thy goodness. Lord, leave us not to grieve over many things. Help us to fall down to the Lamb and worship. Help us to look to Jesus. We thank thee for thy mercies, thy great goodness, thy kindness, answers to prayer, helps by the way, thy unchangeableness, thy faithfulness. We would worship thee. We would thank thee. Lord, let thy work appear. Those dead in trespasses and sins might be in a formality of deadness in coming to thy house. Bring them to need thee. Bless those who are desperate for thee to appeal. So remember us now. O Lord, here we are, have compassion on us. Undertake for us. Now, Lord, what we wait for, our hope is in thee. We thank thee for those spiritual mercies. We do have a throne of grace. Thy precious and atoning blood. Thyself. The Holy Ghost. Thy precious word. We do have these great mercies. We would value them. We would be found in them. Stir me up. Stir us up. Put in thy hand. Stir us up. Leave us not to drift on. Awaken us. Oh, we do thank thee for thy mercies. Now, Lord, bless thy word. Bless the singing of thy worthy praise. Holy Spirit, bid you. Plead the name of Jesus before the throne of God. Lord Jesus, Son of God, Son of David, come, we pray. Plead thy name before the throne. O Lord Jesus, have compassion. Be near. Oh, be near us. May we feel thee near. May we hear thy voice. O dear Lord Jesus, gather up thy lambs. Gather up thy little ones. Gather up my poor ones. Gather up thy needy ones. Good shepherd, be a dear shepherd. Be a good shepherd. Come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Compassion on us, Lord, is our prayer. We will die without compassion. Have compassion on us. We humbly pray in the worthy, glorious name of Jesus, and for his sake, we ask thee to come. O Holy Father, send him. Blessed Spirit, bring him forth. Come, come, Lord Jesus, come, come. Amen.
Hymn number 302. If unto Jesus thou art bound, a crowd about him will be found, attending day and night. A worldly crowd to din thy ears, and crowds of unbelieving fears to hide him from thy sight. 302.
complete dependence upon the Lord for needed help. I would draw your attention to the chapter we read, the Epistle by James, chapter 2 and verse 5. James 2, verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? The Epistle by James, chapter 2, verse 5. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? James is regarded as the practical apostle, the one that pointed to the church, he being the Bishop of Jerusalem, works that come from faith, from grace. In other words, the Spirit of Christ that works in us. We can all say we believe. It's easy to say that. But if we are true believers, it is because of the Holy Ghost dwelling in us, and he will work in us. That Spirit that is of Christ, which is heavenly, that which is not of the earth. I was not intending and do not intend to speak on the whole chapter about Abraham as brought forth, and Rahab showed forth grace by their pathway. Abraham heard God's voice, contrary to reason. We have to be very careful. Many people have a voice to do this and that and say God has spoken. But it must, if God has really spoken to our hearts, it will be through his Son, and it will be in peace, and it will be in compassion. And it will not be contrary to his law or his word. Well, I will leave this part. I will come to the text, which is in the first part of the chapter found, where partiality is spoken against, which of course is not of the Spirit and is not of faith. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hearken, says James. Hath not God chosen? God has a choice. God has a choice. We, as a group of churches, say what we believe in election and predestination. But will that save you? The only thing, dear friend, that will give us a living hope is to know that he's chosen me. Has he chosen you? And if he has chosen you, where did he choose you? Where did he choose you? He chose you where? This is a tremendous principle of grace here. He chose us in his Son. His Son. And if you are chosen, you will be going to the Son and praying to the Son and pleading with the Son of God. and you would be drawn to the Son of God, and you would be brought to desire and need the Son of God, and to love the Son of God, and to know that you are in union, in marriage to the Son of God, chosen. You may say to me, well, where can you say this? How do you know this is true? Election is election. Choice is choice. But God appointed his church as heir of all things with Christ, his Son. He is the firstborn. In the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, he makes it very clear. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Blessed in Christ in heavenly places. And he goes on, according as he hath, the Father that is, hath chosen us in him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Not holy in our own standing, but holy, complete, righteous, as we receive the blessing of Jesus and his mercy in our heart. Now you may say, well, you know all about this. Oh, is it being worked out in your life? What hope can there be of heaven except we receive that tremendous, blessed living water of love and grace flowing from the Lamb of God, from the Father, in fact, from heaven, from the will of God, through his Son, to illuminate and glorify his Son in our life. Chosen in Christ. And Paul also writes, does he not, to the Romans concerning this, for whom he did foreknow, he also, oh, this foreknowledge, before the world began this was, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Conformed to Christ. Well, think of the dear disciples. Look at them. Look at Thomas, full of doubts, full of fears. He made a very serious, solemn statement, you know. It wasn't right. But he was loved. He was chosen in Christ. He said, I will not believe except this. Except I can do this. Except I see this. Is that spirit in us? But he was chosen. He was loved. Grace forgave. Christ sacrificed, put away his sin. He had his blood to plead, but he showed his love to Christ in so longing for him and longing to see those wounds. So there we have a paradox. He was partly wrong, yet his love was there to Christ. We may be in a wrong direction, a wrong pathway. We may be in a wrong spirit. But is the root of the matter in us to bring us to the Lamb of God? You see, it was appointed at the appearing on the resurrection that Thomas would not be there. There was a reason for divine teaching, not just to Thomas, but to the other apostles and to us, and to us. And Jesus had to say a very wonderful word. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. We wouldn't be complacent in that text, would we? But we'd be thankful for it. Blessed are they that have not seen yet have believed. Think of Peter, a natural leader, a bold leader. We call him a denominational leader, wouldn't we, these days, I suppose. or an archbishop or whatever. But you know, dear Peter loved. But all the mistakes he made. I've often said this, you've heard me say it before. But you know, then to say to the dear Lord, I would go to death for thee. The Lord knew. His heart was right. He'd willingly do it as grace was given. And by, grace, we believe, was given to Peter, who was a martyr with the other apostles, apart from John. But, you see, that was not to be in his own strength. What he had to learn, and we have to learn, we have to draw from Christ, beg from Christ, plead from Christ for grace in a dying hour, in a needy hour, in the trial of faith, in the test put before us. Christ's intercession was brought forth to Peter before he felt to need it. But then he remembered the words of the Lord, not just his warning, but his love and his grace. I pray for thee, beloved friend, has Christ groaned for us in Gethsemane? Has he? What if he hasn't? But if he has, you'll be after him. You'll be serious. You want to know something about it. Give me a word, Lord. Let me hear thy voice. You know, well, I'll come to this in a minute, I hope. We were dwelling on this being conformed to the image of his Son. Friend, are we, what does this mean? Taking up the cross, bearing his reproach, suffering with him. You know, there's much suffering in this earth, and God's people have natural sorrows. They want them sanctified to them. Bring them closer to Christ and work for their good. And when God does this, he begins to wean us from this tie and that prop. Begin to take it away, that Jesus might be all in all. But we should bear his reproach. Paul, in writing to Timothy, said, this is a faithful saying. If we suffer with him, with Christ, we should also reign with him. Friend, it is going forth without the camp, bearing his reproach. That meaning spiritually, without the camp, of course, alone, alone. Is your religion a social one, or is it a personal one? Now, it doesn't mean you can't have friends, of course. It doesn't mean you don't have communion with the saints. It doesn't mean you're not to be married. It doesn't mean anything like that at all. Spiritually, a personal pathway. Enoch walked with God. So did the apostle. How does it find us? Bearing his reproach without the camp. Conformed to his image. Friend, through grace and love, this is love that works. It's in our text, I will come to that hopefully in a minute. It's love, that mysterious drawing by the Holy Ghost, the unannounced work of the Spirit, but discovered in your soul by being drawn to the feet of Christ, the lowest place before Christ. To be your head, to be your helper. Friend, if you're a living soul, you'll be begging for Jesus all your life. Journey through from the time you began to need him, from the time you're awakened to the time you get to glory. Yes, there will be those hours of rejoicing. We may have days of thanksgiving, but you'll soon be begging again, conformed to his image. And on this first point, hath not God chosen. I just want to quote Peter just very quickly, as he said elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, separation, working righteousness, working grace, cleansing of the Spirit in your soul. You know, the saints, those that get God's people, friend, don't just have the Holy Ghost around them. They have the Holy Ghost in them. Think of the love. Do you feel yourself to be the vilest of the vile, the basest of the base? Do you feel to be a total failure in grace? You're being shown your sins and your corruption. But still the Spirit sanctifies in love. What rich love to dwell in the vilest man's heart. Paul, the chief of sinners, dwelt, the Holy Spirit dwelt there by love, by determinate counsel, by the choice of God. But I wanted to come to this, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ's obedience becoming our obedience in love by union. But the final point, sprinkling precious blood. No heaven without the blood. Sprinkling with blood. The influence of Jesus' sufferings and death on our life. But the glory, the grace of the hiding shadow, the safety, the eternal safety by faith of sheltering under Jesus' precious blood, under his life given as a ransom for us. Hearken, oh hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen what? Well, what's he chosen then? What's he chosen? We have a shock here. The poor. The poor of this world. The poor of this world. Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor in this world? I know it goes on to say rich in faith. I want to come to that. The poor of this world. If you're poor, you're regarded, well, to be on the poverty line. Do you know your poverty? Do you groan in your poverty? Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why are they poor? Why are they blessed then? Because they are looking to the Lamb of God. They might be poor in themselves. But you know, Paul writes, does he not, in his opening epistle, because he says, for you see your calling, brethren. Now this is awakening. When you were called, you had a discovery. You had a discovery when you were called. You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world. You see, this is discovered in calling. It might be natural. We have to leave that with God. It's true, not many noble. Look who the Lord Jesus went to. You have a clear setting there of whom he called. Are you among the poor ones? A fisherman? A tax collector? And think of all those that came with their illnesses and their ailments and their poverties and their sins and their shame and their guilt. But this is discovered by grace. To the weak things of the world, to confound the things which are mighty, base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Are you pleased with your faith? Are you quite pleased with your faith? You think you're doing well? Dear friend, it's a shameful thing to be a failure, you know. You know what it is. I expect all of us at different times have faced defeat and feel the shame of it, naturally in business, whatever it might be. Things went wrong. It's not what we aim for, is it? But God brings us down. Down as poor. Down as needy. Friend, poor in faith. We have here rich in faith, but they fail to be poor in faith, poor in spirit. In Isaiah, we have this declaration, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Look, we get used to these texts. High, lofty, inhabiteth eternity. Friend, oh, the Spirit of God. God is a spirit. The power of God. The Father has no dimension. He's a spirit. He's a consuming fire. He's a glory. We read of the hand of God, the eye of God, the ear of God, the mouth of God, the voice of God. These are relative properties to his grace, to his poor church, to his people. To hear his voice. It's the voice of power to the soul. It brings forth the power of the glory of God the Father. He cannot be seen. But where does God dwell? In his Son, brought forth, born of a virgin, manifest in flesh, the Eternal One. Brought forth. But there we already said, God in him, he in God. But I want to bring this later if I can. An heir, a joint heir, Christ the firstborn. Whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also. This is grace. With him also. That is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth. Are you one of those who feared that the Lord will contend with you to the end of the journey? Go to him and plead his word, poor soul. For I will not contend forever. God is love. Neither will I always be wroth, for the spirit would fail before me and the souls which I have made. He brings forth a reason for his dealings. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth. Friend, you don't see that. We can't see it. Friend, you can't see your sins until the Lord shows them and smote him. Do you know what it is to be smitten of God? I hid me and was wroth. He went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I've seen his ways, and I will heal him. This is grace. Grace. I've seen his ways, will heal him. Will lead him also, restore comfort unto him and to his mourners. What a promise. What a word. Poor of this world. Chosen the poor of this world. Well, let's dwell there for a second. A few seconds. You're so poor you've got no power in grace. You're so poor you're dependent. Dependent on mercy to come. Jeremiah was let down into a pit, and a pit he had no power to get himself out of. God appointed Abimelech to take him out. Brought him out.
God, to bring you out of your trouble, out of your sorrow, out of your unhappiness, out of your loneliness, out of your fears. You're poor. You can't take yourself out of your fears. You can't stop sinning. You can't stop the love of sinning. In fact, you can't do anything in grace. You're so poor. You're a beggar. Now, beggars are poor, aren't they? You know, beggars are poor. You're a spiritual beggar. Spiritual beggar. God hath chosen. God hath chosen. In his Son. Now, often, I don't want to just quote text. I often quote this, as you know, and it's a blessed word to me. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a grace. What a grace. The day he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. He came where you feel now. Yea, he came lower to where you feel to be. Lower. For your sakes, love to you. For your sakes he became poor. Even unto death. I know the scripture doesn't say that. I'm pointing it out. That ye, through his poverty, might be made rich. His death, his blood, his suffering. Now you're going to get rich there as Jesus is revealed to you, dying in your place. Made precious. Don't you long to know more of Gethsemane? We would see Jesus. When Paul declares, God forbid I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ my Lord. By whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Friend, the cross of Christ, not my own cross. We are told to take up our cross. What cross? Christ there. Christ in your pathway. Friend, it's not just the cross. It's Christ. It's Christ's cross. The world crucified to me. And I unto the world. How? We see Jesus. Drawn to Emmanuel. Friend, you're poor. You long to know something of the dear Redeemer's poverty. That through this, you might be rich. 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 Rich in hope. Can you not speak of mercy? You're going to say the Lord's done nothing for you. Is not Christ ever been made precious? The one thing needful. Is there someone here? There's one thing I need, Lord Jesus, above all else. Please, please show thyself through the lattice of the gospel to my heart. Rich in faith. What does this mean? How can you be poor and rich all in one? Well, Paul was. Peter was. David was. Abraham was. And so will you be. So were your forefathers. Look at those you've seen go before you. Look at those when you were younger. Those you were brought by grace to love. Perhaps even now, you may not have the time. You can then begin to understand the minister's preaching or that person's prayers at the prayer meeting. Had not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith? Rich in faith. Faith. What in? Christ. Christ. His fullness. A fullness of, well, we're going to say, I'm going to start with the word grace, which is an all-encompassing word covering the many blessings of God given to us purely by his grace. Can I say this? Opened up to the heart by grace. Grace opens up the heart, opens up the life, opens up the spirit. faith, now rich in it. Believe ye that I'm able to do this. Now it's no good us jumping up and saying, yes, Lord. It needs the Holy Spirit's peculiar work at that moment, at that point, at that hour, to believe that he is able and willing to do it. But the work of faith in the soul will not let him go. And you'll wrestle on for years. Wrestle on for years. Will not let him go. Faith kept the man, Bethesda's Paul, by the water. That's where he'll be healed. Faith will keep you at the throne of grace. That's where you will find mercy. Faith will keep you exercised in the Bible. That's where you will be blessed out of the treasury of his word from heaven. Look at the woman of Canaan. Discouraged. Facing facts. I'm not sent, says Jesus, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, she was a Greek, Syrophoenician by nation, but Greek we read. Or elsewhere, a woman of Canaan. What a discouragement. You don't feel you're elect. You feel you're not chosen. You haven't heard the Lord's voice. You haven't got the blessing you need. Friend, if you've got living faith, you'll get down on your knees, I hope, one day, and begin to plead Jesus' death and blood. Begin to plead his. You may not understand the wonders of that blood and the virtue in it and the life in it, but you'll begin to plead what he has done. His blood, a safety, a life given, his death. Lord, even in the pathway, even in providence, even in things you need, the Lord's dealings with you. Pardon, Lord, my sin. I ask the Lord to show me my sin slowly, because I can't bear to see them all in one go. It will sink me. Keep praying on. But at the same time, Lord, that pardoning blood, that precious blood, the life given, thy dying. Speak, Lord, speak, rich in faith. Friend, life given as a ransom. For sinners, Lord, thou camest to bleed. For sinners, for sinners. And I am a sinner vile indeed. Lord, I believe thy grace is free. Oh, magnify that grace in me. Faith, faith in Christ. In his compassion. In his mercy. In his sonship. In his humanity. In his love. The express image of the person sent. There are many things we could think of. In the lattice of the gospel, the desert journey, and the mercy shown there with the manna. Jesus said he was that manna. Friend, it's a daily going to him. Christ lifted up on the serpent in the wilderness, and so forth. Friend, that was the power and grace of God working. There was nothing in the serpent, nothing at all. It was just brass. Had no power itself. But those that were dying followed the instruction of God. They followed what Moses said, and grace worked to heal them because they looked to where of the glory, shall I say, the type of the Son of God, looking to Jesus. Grace works in your life, your heart, as you look to Jesus. Rich in faith, rich in faith. You know, we might go wrong here. We want the Lord to do this. We want the Lord to speak that. We mustn't get like Thomas, although it shows the right principle within, it shows the love of God within, but we must fall down and be nothing before the Lord and say, work however thou wilt. Speak in whatever way thou wilt. But I tell you something, dear friend, there's nothing like the voice of your beloved, but there's something else very blessed. The Lord may not speak to your soul, and I can name some of our prominent ministers, Eli Ashdown and so forth, and John Kemp, who, and Mr. Popham, although yes, he heard the Lord's voice, but opened up to him, and by the eye of faith, by the Spirit, a glimpse of Jesus in the lattice of the gospel while on earth, wherever it might be, perhaps in the judgment hall, perhaps healing, perhaps on the cross, perhaps in the garden, perhaps a little opening up of his blessed intercession. Friend, that will bless you. Christ revealed to you, yet the word made precious, his voice, let him work how he will. Don't lay down how God will work, friend. Wait on him humbly. Fall down flat, as James Bourne says, and be nothing. Is it not Jesus you want to see? Will he not? Friend, he will come. He will bless, which is in the forgiveness of sin. Friend, when I'm speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm speaking of power here. I'm not just speaking of visions. I'm speaking of an effect upon your life. Because sin is then put away. When Christ is revealed, sin is no longer, it's put away. It's put away forever in the Lamb of God. Well, I don't know, I'm getting tempted, I'm going too high. Well, friend, I've found Christ precious to me when I've been down lowest. When you've been lowest, then he's made precious. You don't have to go up. You don't have to go up, you know. You go down to the dear Redeemer, right down to his feet, right down to where he came to deliver our soul, to put away our sin. Rich in faith. Not a theoretical faith. That doesn't humble. That doesn't sanctify. Friend, that doesn't bring forth a reproach of Christ. Rich in faith. What Jesus has done. Poor soul, are you just relying on him? Casting your care on him? Falling down before him, leaning hard on him for everything. The future, the unknown way. Friend, the Holy Ghost works, as he clearly says by Paul in Hebrews, while it is called today. What does that mean? It's not a future faith. It's not a past faith. It's cries now, breathing forth prayer now, today. And we're so poor, and we have to keep being reminded how poor we are, because we feel we're so dead sometimes. But what revives? Grace, faith, brought forth, Christ made precious. Friend, some of those saints that went to the Lord Jesus, if you had met them, said, have you got faith? They'd say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Have I got faith? I haven't got a clue. But one thing they could tell you, they were going to Jesus for mercy and healing. Well, that shows their faith. And that's what James is talking about in this chapter. Although he's also talking about going on in grace and so forth to the end of the journey. Rich in faith. Relying on him. Be still, that's faith, and know that I'm God. I will work, and who will let it? Trust in him at all times, down times, sad times, deserted times. What a mercy, friend. The name of Jesus, you can sometimes plead it, as a beggar. Be thankful you can plead it, and be thankful you've heard of his name. Be thankful you know something of him, even in time past, or be thankful you're drawn to him. It's one thing, friend, and we should be well without excuse, for you don't come to this place to plead his precious blood. That's where the Father loved him most. What I mean there, I don't love him in his deity, in his union, of course, at all times, that can never change. What I'm saying here, in redeeming the church, that's what I'm meaning. That's where he brought forth his beloved, his church, his heirs, his chosen, through his precious blood. Plead it so. Even if you don't understand it, open mine eyes, Lord, open mine eyes. Far better to confess what you don't know and ask it to be revealed. Don't try and be anything in religion. Be nothing before the Lord. Jesus, all things, the heir of all things in Christ, every blessing in Christ, all knowledge in Christ. Not in systems of religion or systematic theology, although that's got its right place, and I'm not decrying it, it's got its right place. But all things in Christ, all things in Jesus, all Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory, working in you by love. Rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom. Friend, heirs of the kingdom, what does it mean? Well, if the Son shall... I want to go to John chapter 8, because he speaks and he shall... and she know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's the truth that is in Jesus, the truth of his divine teaching. And then Jesus went on to say, well, they argued with him and said, will you be Abraham's seed? And we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, we shall be made free? Well, we believe, you know, we're Jews, like churches today, so we're good believers. We don't need, we're all right. We believe, we're all right. Well, the Lord answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Are you without sin then? If you're taught of the Spirit, you know what a sinner you are. Look at the wandering mind, look at the imagination, look at the murmuring, look at the rebellion. Look at the querying of God's dealings. Look at the arguments you've had with God. In all his ways, is he just? You feel the Lord's dealt hard with you sometime? Maybe don't get like I've been and threatened my fist to the Lord. Oh, but can I speak of grace? I wasn't going to say that, but can I speak of grace? He blessed me. Within a very short space of time, less than hours, poured his mercy in my soul, gave me the spirit of prayer, broke my heart, spoke to my spirit. Oh, I love that hymn. I've been thinking of it the last few days. It's a lovely hymn, 1032, I think it is. Rebellious thou hast been, and art rebellious still, but since in love I took thee in, my promise I'll fulfill. But the Lord Jesus said, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever. With God's people, sin will not dwell in you forever by dominion. There'll always be sin in the body, sin in the heart. But here the Lord is speaking of dominion, power. Paul says, you're not under the law, but under grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you, because you're not under the law, but under grace. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Free. Free from condemnation. And Paul writes, does he not concerning heirs, as I was going to say before I went to John, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, oneness with the Father. What? Through the air, through Christ. Through Christ. In him. One with him. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. We are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. Friend, what tremendous grace. Poor. Now listen to our text. Poor. Poor in this world. Poor. Poor in spirit. Poor in heart. Rich. Looking to Jesus. Faith. Trusting. Waiting. Looking. Beholding. Breathing after. Christ. Christ. That's the richness. Drawing from his richness. An heir. An heir. An heir. A joint heir. Sonship with Christ. Oh, friend, doesn't it make you long to bear something of his spirit? What a humbling. Oh, how precious is God's word. What we want doing, dear friends, is breaking right down and be childlike. Children love mum and dad. They run to them. They want comfort from them. I know we're disobedient children. We know that part as well. But naturally speaking, they completely trust everything. Oh, may we be childlike. Oh, to fall down before Christ. To trust him. Trust his grace. By the Spirit. Plead his word. Learn of him. Who himself declared he was meek and lowly in heart. Christ, meek and lowly in heart. Wonderful word. Heirs of God. Joint heir. See, there's the choice of God in Christ. Chosen to be a joint heir with Christ. A joint heir. He the head. He the good shepherd. The captain of our salvation. But one with him. How? Because he became one with us to suffer for us, manifest in flesh, bearing our sins on the tree, putting them away forever, rising in newness of life, that we might live with him. And Paul says here, if so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. Well, the time has run. And heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him. Now that one word Paul in writing in Corinthians speaks of, now abideth faith, hope, charity. The greatest of all these is charity. We love him, his ways, his word. Why? Because he first loved us. Not God, just God, but through Christ, God manifest in the flesh. Friend, of course God, but you cannot approach God. From the fall of man, the time Adam fell, God always dealt through a mediator, a sacrifice. Always, always. He withdrew from Adam, but promised a son, promised a seed, a mediator. The glory of Christ is seen here, one with him. But to those that love him, which he hath promised, to them that love him. Well, how could you love him? Well, I've got to sit down. Friend, I'll leave that word with you. Through his mercy. I could not love God but through his compassion, through his grace, through his mercy. How could I love him except he had mercy on my soul? Friend, but you can have love in your heart to his word, longing for that mercy, waiting for that mercy, drawn to him, but it's sealed and you know that love is there. Beg on, a God of compassion, a God of grace. Well, I'll leave the word. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised heaven to see his face. To them that love him in tender fear, humility, patient waiting, to them that love him. Are you drawn to the Lord Jesus in all his suffering, all his humility for poor wretches like us? Are you drawn to them that love him?
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £725, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day, who also hopes to administer the Lord's Supper. And there will also be a cemetery trustee meeting tomorrow evening at 7:30. Let us close with hymn 321. My soul, Lord, inflame with zeal from above, thy praise to proclaim and sing of thy love, to lift up my voice in thanksgiving sincere, this truth to rejoice in, the Lord will appear. 321.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now, forever. Amen.